Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. Well, today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. All right. This morning, I'd like to talk with you about how is God like a father to you? Because we've all had earthly dads, right? I saw you raise your hands earlier. I think everybody here has had an earthly dad. And we've had different kinds of dads. Some good, some okay, some not so good. And I think when we think about God as our Father, sometimes we can tend to project the relationship that we have with our earthly dads onto our relationship with God as our dad in heaven. And sometimes that works out well. If you've had a good dad who's loving and kind and encouraging, it's easy for you, when you're a Christian, to know your heavenly Father is loving, kind, and encouraging, because your earthly dad was. But if you had a dad who was maybe harsh, mean, distant, or abusive, or something like that, and you become a Christian, it can become difficult. It's not impossible by any means, but it's harder for you to see God as your Father, as loving, kind, and all those things, because your earthly dad did not represent those things, and so you project your earthly relationship with your dad onto God as your Father, and you tend to see him sometimes as distant or harsh, and it can be very difficult knowing him as loving and kind and encouraging. And so today, I'd like to talk with you about what an earthly dad should strive for guess what? We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory in that, but God forgives us in Christ. And especially, I want to talk with you about what is your heavenly Father like as your dad in heaven, as our dad. Let's see what we can say about this by means of the scriptures. Well, first, I'd like to get this on the table and establish. Is God really our Father? Because, excellent, I mean, we could probably skip page one here then, because God created us. In a general sense, we're all God's children. In a general sense, for Paul says here in Acts chapter 17, when he's preaching to the people in Athens, Greece, he says, God made from one every nation of men to live on the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. That's Paul preaching to the people in Greece. And so we are God's offspring. Every human being, and God's not far from any one of us, as Father. In a general sense, everybody could say that. But in a more specific spiritual sense, only Christians can call God their Father. We read this, actually, Jesus is talking with the Jews in John chapter 8, and the Jews did not believe in him, the ones he was speaking to, and we pick it up there. Jesus says, I know you're descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. The Jews answered, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, If you were Abraham's children, you'd do what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth from the beginning. This is not what Abraham did. You do what your father did. So there's another father, Jesus is saying here. The Jews said to Jesus, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded, and I came forth from God. Why, I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. So what's he saying there? Is everybody God's spiritual child? No. It's those who believe in Christ are God's children, as we read in John's letter. He who confesses the Son, that person has the Father also. He who denies the Son does not have the Father. And so, in general sense, everybody that you meet on the earth is a child and God is their father. But in a specific, truer, deeper sense, it's only Christians. Are you a Christian today? Then God is your father. And how does God become your father? How do you become God's child? Well, that's clearly spelled out for us again. John chapter 1, Jesus came to his own home and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, say believed, he gave the power, say power, to become the children of God. Say children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so how do you get God to be your father? Or how does he become your father? You're born of him through faith in Jesus Christ. You receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God is your father. You are born of him. You're also born of him in baptism. Jesus said, unless a person's born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So in baptism, by water and the Spirit, you're born of the Spirit of God. And if you're born of the Spirit of God, you are? You're with me. God's child. And God is your Father. And do you know in your life, actually God has made it to confirm this for you? By baptism, by faith, and by your prayers. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, we read this, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We're following the Spirit, and so we're God's children. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received a spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So the Spirit, when you say Abba, what does Abba mean? Father. And it's kind of an ancient term of intimate endearment, dad or daddy. When you are saying that in your prayers, that means that the Holy Spirit in your prayers is bearing witness with your spirit, confirming you are indeed God's child. And I want you to go from here today rejoicing and confirmed in the conviction, God is my dad. He is my father in heaven. I've been born of him through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's established. Now we need to ask that question. What is your heavenly father God really like then as our dad in heaven? Well, first off, he is not an absent dad, but he is ever present with you in everything that you go through in your life. Do you feel that? Do you believe that? Do you trust in that? You know, we live in a culture, let's say the U.S. Census Bureau said 2 years ago, there are 24 million children in America who are living in homes where their biological dad is not in the home. One out of every three children don't know their dad. We had a youth group here a couple years ago. Beth was running 11 girls. We love them all. Only one had a dad in the home. And that dad wasn't even close. Couldn't speak with him. What does that do to a child when they don't know their dad? And what does that do with their relationship with God? Well, it can lead on into all kinds of difficulties. Some of which are things like this. They start to say to themselves, I'm not loved. Or I'm unlovable, or I'm not important. At least I'm not valuable enough for my dad to stick around and see me. And that can be very difficult on their lives and their relationship then with God, right? Because now they become a Christian, they hear the gospel, they rejoice that he's their father, but they're always wondering, is he distant? Is he ever really with me? Is he ever really going to stick with me, or is he going to cut and run like my earthly dad did? And there's that difficulty. Do you know what? God comes to comfort you in that today, if that's your case. Psalm 68 says, Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to dwell in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. So, if you've had an earthly dad in your home, one that lived with you, blessed are you. if you didn't, God still blesses you. He says, I will be your dad. I will be your father, and I will never, ever leave you. I'll never, ever depart from you. Can you take that with you into the hospital room when you're suffering? Can you take that into a job interview or some other trouble in your life? That my dad has said he will stand by my side no matter what, my whole life long. He won't cut and run. Do you know I love Naomi, my daughter? I was praying and speaking to her and singing her songs when she was in the womb of Beth. And I would sing to her when she got out. I loved to hear her forming heartbeat. We had that little baby monitor you could hook up and listen. I delighted to see her born. I walked with her to her first room, to be there when she took her first crawl, her first steps, her first bike ride, her first horse lesson. My goodness, friends, I was even there when she was conceived. Yes. But seriously, my point in all that is that I'm a sinful man. I'm a fallen creature, and I long to be with my daughter in every little part of her life. How much more your heavenly Father? Believe this, that he wants to be with you in every smacking detail of your life, be it big or small. I am with you always to the close of the age, says Jesus, and Jesus is who? The perfect image of God the Father. So believe that today. David says, where shall I go away from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. You know what a difference it would make in your life if you had the confidence that God, your dad in heaven, mighty, the great Lion of Judah, is holding your hand all the way through life and says and promises, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Wherever you go, I'll be there. I'll be there with you in life. I'll be with you in the hospital. I'll be there with you in your joys. I'll be there with you in death. And I'll walk with you through it, bringing you right home to me and to my face to rejoice forever. So let's be dads like that to our children, our grandchildren. If we've sinned, just confess it to the Lord. He's a loving Father to you. He'll forgive you. And this is our Father in heaven. Another thing is God, our Father, is not a distant God. You know, some fathers that we have on earth, our dads, are present physically in the home, but they're distant from us emotionally. And the children are trying to connect with them, and they get frustrated because they can't. You know, our society kind of idolizes the American cowboy, and I kind of like that too. But, you know, he's the guy who used to smoke, ride his horse alone on the range, come in, shoot up the town, clean up the bad guys right away. No one ever got a chance to thank him. He'd never blink an eye, no matter what happens. And a lot of men strive for that image, but you know the problem with that? Can't relate to him. He cleans up the town, that's good, but you can't get below the surface to this man. Any of you had a father like that? Where it's difficult to relate to him even though he was there? And then you find in your Christian life, you're wondering, oh my goodness, I got a Father in heaven. I know you love me. I know all these things, but I don't feel like I can really relate to you, Lord. Can I really get below the surface with you? We're projecting that onto God. That's not who your God is. He is open. He is available to you. He loves you. There was a guy once in the 1800s, a politician, Charles Francis Adams, a diplomat. He wrote in his diary, went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. That's what he wrote. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which we still have to this day. And that's on that same day he wrote, went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. Some dads are present physically, but not there emotionally. You know what your child wants from you more than anything else? Time with you. You can give them all the money in the world, they may be happy, but they may not. What they really want from you is time, and that's what God gives with you. He says, I am present with you. I am open to you. You are open to me. I know every hair of your head. I love you, and I care about you. Jesus is the perfect image of the Father, right? Well, what do we see about him? He went to the tomb of Lazarus. Martha and Mary are with him before he gets there, that is. And it says, when he saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with Mary also weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, see how he loved him. Is your Father in heaven a distant, unemotional God who doesn't care about you? It says in the scriptures, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. When you go through your life, God is intimately involved in every detail and cares with deepness of heart. And I want you to feel that today. You're not left alone. You're not left alone even by a God who's present with you as some sort of cowboy. He cares for you with the deepness of a heart beyond what we can fathom. He says in Psalm 139, I'll put it in the first person, and hear this to God, to you from God right now. I, the Lord, search you. I know you. I know when you sit down. I know when you rise up. I discern your thoughts from afar. I know you're lying down, and I'm acquainted with all your ways. Even before a word is on your tongue, lo, I, the Lord, I know it altogether. I beset you behind and before. I lay my hand upon you. And then David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Amen? And when you approach him, what is he like, this God? Some fathers can tend to be harsh, critical, pointing the finger, condemning. You're never good enough. Quick to find fault. Is God such a dad to us? You know, sometimes you read the Old Testament, you're like, whoa, bam, right? Well, he's bringing a discipline and an example upon wicked people who've set their heart against them for years in order to bring people to Christ and salvation. Jesus is the perfect image of the Father, as we said. He said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Don't say, show us the Father. Look at me and you will see him. What is he like to you? Is he quick to anger? Is he quick to condemn you? Is he quick to point the finger? Well, what do we see in Jesus? One day he was at the temple. They brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. Placed her in the midst. Teacher, this woman's been caught in adultery. The law commanded us to stone such a one. What do you say about her? They said this to test him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And they continued to ask him. And he stood up and said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Then he went down and wrote again with his finger on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest. And Jesus was left all alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus looked up and said, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. What kind of a God do you have? What kind of a Father do you have in heaven? Quick to condemn, quick to strike, quick to put you down and to find guilt, quick to forgive. You know, a lot of us are probably going through our lives feeling pretty guilty and quite afraid of the Lord. And he is a very slow to anger God. And he is quick to forgive. Though he cause grief, he'll have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the sons of men. Even when he disciplines us, he doesn't enjoy that. He does it so that we might, in the end, be given good and a peaceful heart. Remember when the prodigal son returned? Was there fear? Was there guilt? Was there hostility? The father, Jesus says, ran to the boy and embraced him, kissed him, put a ring on his hands, shoes on his feet, the best robe, and killed the fatted calf and says, let's eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. And they began to make merry. Do you feel like God rejoices over you today? Or is he a distant, absent, grouchy kind of jerk? No. He is kind and wants you to come, and he's quick to forgive and quick to encourage. I pray you know his joy and know it better and better. You know, he's also quick to encourage you. Keith Hernandez, the great baseball player, won Golden Glove Award, probably not a Golden Globe, but he had a lifetime batting average of over 300. He was one of the best baseball players ever. But in a candid interview, he was talking about his dad. And he said, "Dad, I have a lifetime average of over 300. What more do you want?" And his father answered him, "But one day you're going to look back and say, I could have done better." He was the best. Nobody could match him, and yet his dad never, it was never good enough. Do you know what that does to a child? When you set a standard so high that they can never feel competent, never feel that they arrive at that level of approval from their dad? Is that the kind of dad that you have from God? God is a God who encourages you. He doesn't put you down and discourage you. If you hear discouragements from God, that's the devil. Now, God may discipline you, okay? He may rebuke you to bring you into the right, but he doesn't discourage you. That's the devil. Anytime you have such a thought, just dismiss it as, that is not my father. That is a false father, the one I used to have. My God is an encouraging God. You know, the name for the Holy Spirit is Paraclete, which means encourager. That's one of the meanings. Paul says, "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another." Say encourage, would you?
Encourage.
Isn't it great to have a dad like that? Can you be a dad like that to your children and your grandchildren? Maybe even if you failed in that, do it today. Or try to do it in the future. Write a letter or something. My dad encouraged me when I was in the ELCA difficulty. And remember, I was having that difficulty at the seminary. And I was going to leave after that first interview I had with him. And he said, "You know, son," he called me up, "you can do that if you want. But I've been rethinking that. I watched a show last night on when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and they totally destroyed our fleet. And then they threw all of the might of the Japanese Navy against one little tiny patch of sand called Wake Island. And they couldn't take it. And then after the first huge wave of attacks and the Japanese couldn't land from this little group of Americans on the island, the American High Command called the American commander on the island and said, 'What more can we send you? What do you need?' And the American commander's answer was, 'More Japs.'" Now, I don't want to speak poorly in Japanese, but the answer there, he said, Dad said, "That's what it is to be a man, to stand your ground and stand for what you believe in. And I think you ought to reconsider resigning. I think you ought to stand in there and make them make a decision about you. Don't let them off easy." I did. You know why? By the encouragement of my dad. And a father's words are gold to their children. Do not forget that. Fathers, grandfathers, give them a word of gold today, even if you haven't in the past. Give them a word of encouragement and love. For such your father does to you. It's a rock for a child to stand on. Your dad in heaven says, "You can do it. You can face today. I'll be with you. You can face tomorrow. You can overcome it. It will not beat you down. I'll not fail you nor forsake you. Stand up there, my son. I encourage you." And then we can say with Paul, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me," because of the encouragement of our dad, our Father in heaven, who encourages you, even in death. "I encourage you. Don't be afraid. It is I. I'm with you. Don't be afraid." So leads me to my final point here. Our dad is a protecting dad. Dad who loves you and knows every hair on your head and cares about you with an everlasting love. I took my daughter Naomi to the Florida Keys, went snorkeling a couple years ago. She was 10. And one of the ladies on the trip commented how brave they thought Naomi was. At 10 years old, to jump in the ocean, out of sight of land basically, out there with sharks. And we actually went swimming off this reef. And Naomi came up and said, "Oh, Dad, I saw this pretty colored fish." And I said, "Yeah, and did you see that shark right under you too?" And she looked down, and it was just a nurse shark. They're harmless, but it's about bigger than she was. And swam by, she was like, "Oh." And a lady on the trip commented how brave she was. And I told Naomi, you know, Naomi, if there ever were a shark, it's my plan to get in between you and the shark. And she said, yeah, I knew that, Dad. That's why I wasn't afraid. You know, your God has the same kind of dad for you. He gets in between you and danger. He gets in between you and hell, even. That's what Jesus did. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man. Though perhaps for a good man, one won't dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came and stood right there on that cross, and back in Calvary, between you and between death and the devil and sin. And he was killed for it and rose again to protect you. He is a protecting God to protect you in your life today, in your tomorrow, and in death, so that you can face it and said, I'm not afraid. And the angels say, why weren't you afraid? Because I knew my dad, my Christ, my brother, would get in between myself and death for me. So there's no fear in life with him. There's no fear in death. And there's no fear in our relationship with him as our Father, because we're not under the law anymore, but we're under grace. We read there in 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And he who fears is not perfected in love. And when we get to know the love of our God, and how much our dad really loves us and has provided for us and will be with us forever, we don't have to be afraid anymore. Because you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, Romans 8, but you have received the spirit of sonship. Not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of sonship. We cry, Abba, Dad, Father, and he answers us in love. And so may you, as fathers today, rejoice in God as your Father, God over you. If you failed in this, we all have. I've sinned, you've sinned, maybe in great ways. God will forgive you. He's quick to forgive. And speak an encouraging word to your children. Even now at this late hour, it will still be gold to them. And we've learned in Jesus, who is the perfect image of the Father, that we have a dad in heaven who's ever with us. He's not cruel, but kind. He's not condemning, but he's merciful. He's not quick to anger, but he's quick to forgive. He's not critical, but encouraging. He's not here to frustrate you, but to fulfill you. He's not here to give you a relationship with him of fear, but one of love. In Jesus, amen.